Clifton Adcock with Oklahoma Watch. Thank you for coming in. And your story that has been online and been in some newspapers over the past week on really how the Justice Reinvestment Initiative kind of came off the rails. It's been very interesting to read, and you did a lot of research on that. First of all, give me kind of the top line findings of what you found looking through all the emails and communications that you researched.
According to some of the interviews we had and some of the emails, there appeared to be some pressure between the governor's staff, high-level staff, and the co-chairs of the Justice Reinvestment Initiative, who was former House Speaker Chris Steele and Oklahoma County District Attorney David Prater. This led to the federal grants that would have funded a coordinator for Oklahoma's Justice Reinvestment Program to be rejected by the governor's office. And it came about that on the day that a measure leading to Steele and Prater's resignation, the day that that was passed, the governor's staff was meeting with the president of a private prison organization. A couple hours after that meeting started, the governor's chief of staff began sending urgent emails checking on the status of the bill, asking if she had to call in favors to get it to move and whatnot. Now, the governor's staff says that those two things, that meeting and those urgent emails that were sent out, had no relation to one another.
They have no relation to one another, but the timing certainly would look suspect, I would think.
The timing raised red flags, and some of the governor's staff said that, yes, indeed, it looks like that that the timing of that does raise some red flags. They assured me that nothing like that was happening. However, you can also look at some of the campaign contributions. 5 days after Prater and Steele resigned, there was a $4,000 contribution tendered from Corrections Corporation of America, followed 10 days later by Fallon's 2014 campaign accepting a $5,000 donation from a Corrections Corporation lobbyist.
And this is also in context of something that I found surprising in my coverage of state government in Oklahoma, was this last legislative session going through the budget process that, you know, corrections, public safety has always been one of those areas that typically gets a pretty good review in terms of the money it receives from state government. And this year, corrections department was shut out. There were no increases. And in fact, when I asked Secretary of Finance Preston Dorflinger about that, the response was pretty pointed that we're not sure they deserve any more money. And so this is kind of a part of a whole bigger picture in terms of the way the state's approaching corrections.
Correct. If you speak with people in the Oklahoma Department of Corrections, they'll basically say that they're in crisis mode. They're dealing with short staffs. They're dealing with low pay and troubled recruiting. Now, a lot of them say that a lot of individuals will say that there's problems with the private prison holding too much sway over the legislative process and over policy, and thus they're, I guess, quote, starving the beast in order to direct more of the state resources to private industry.
Clifton Adcock with Oklahoma Watch, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Kurt.